title of the message this morning is Uncommon Love. Common love, which everybody's got. A little short with each other. Give people the silent treatment. Don't talk to each other for a while. Lose your temper a little bit. But you're still together because of kids. Maybe you've been together for 25 years, so, and I don't want to get used to somebody else, so I'll just live with him. I'll just live with her. Common love. That's not the love that was in Song of Solomon. This young lady said, notice what the words are, I am my beloved's. I am the one I love, I'm his beloved. And his desires toward me. I want to take just a minute, not just husbands and wives, but all of us in the relationships we have. This week, I got a phone call pretty late at night from one family member that had made another family member mad, not my son or daughter, but extended family. I only have two other families in my family. And one of them said something to the other one, and kind of, they call me. Why are you calling me? I messed up. I don't know what I said. Could you find out? How many of you like to be in that position? And so next morning, and while I'm talking to him, the other one calls me. And I'm saying, oh my, I couldn't go to sleep for a while. I got up the next morning. I'm praying about, Lord, please help me to show an uncommon love to both. Lord, help me. And so I got on the phone and the Lord just worked it out beautifully. It was just wonderful. I'm just so thankful. Now, but that's not common. We all have to work at things. Common love has warts on it. Uncommon love, we work to get rid of them. We try to make sure nothing's between us. Brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, husband, wife. Here's an uncommon love. Randy Curley and Victoria Ingram became engaged in February 1994. According to the Chicago Tribune, a short time later, Randy received bad news from his doctors. His kidneys had failed. Randy brought his fiancée to the doctor to hear what the doctor was saying so she could understand the future. And you can make a choice. They're only engaged. You realize what's going to happen. The doctor said that each year only 4,000 kidneys become available to 36,000 people. So that means dialysis. Every other day for the rest of my life. Unless I get a kidney. And the doctor said, now look, we've checked everybody in your family. Those are the normal people that match. Nobody matches. And she says, what about me? Well, you don't normally match. But we'll check you. A few weeks later, the phone rang and said, Victoria, you're a perfect match. You want to give your kidney to her fiance? Now, I don't know about you, but you have to understand the gravity of that decision. If you lose the other kidney, you're on dialysis. A great sacrifice. And this girl is only engaged to the guy. She said, I'd like to give him my kidney. So they planned their marriage. The day after they got married, they planned a 5.5-hour surgery to give her kidney to him. During the testing, they nicked her kidney. They had to wait another month or two. And then the couple, 1 month after becoming husband and wife, in a 5.5-hour operation at Sharp Memorial Hospital in San Diego, California, Victoria gave her husband of 1 month her left kidney. It was believed to be the first kidney ever given from a wife to her husband. An uncommon love. Marriages survive and thrive. That's what I want for you. A a thriving marriage, thriving relationships with brothers and sisters. When spouses focus on what they can give and not what they can get. An uncommon love must be an emphatic love. As I look at this verse here, the bride says, I know he loves me. It's an emphatic love. It's one that the desire is toward your mate and they know it. It's not, well, I told her at the altar, I'm not changing my mind. If I do, I'll tell you. It's not just leaving it there. It's that your mate, husband or wife, know that you love them. So it's an emphatic love. It's a love that's greater than all the other loves. It is an uncommon love. And that's uncommon in our society. When we have an emphatic love that we want them to know that we love them. We want it to be clear to them that we love them. Now, in order for that to be the case, you've got to have priorities. They have to be first. You have to make it where they're very important. When Janet calls me, I always answer the phone. Now, there's sometimes when I'm in a business meeting or I'm in a meeting with somebody this here or there, I won't answer the phone. Now, she doesn't call me unless it's important. Anytime she wants to call me, I tell her, you call me because you are first. It's got to be an emphatic love. You know, I want to do things for her. I said, now, when we first started meeting up with each other about 4 years ago, I said, look, we got in the car and we walked out of the car and I opened the door for her and I said, would you be seated? And she sat in the car and I closed the door. And I said, as long as I'm alive, I want to do that. And she says, well, you don't have to do that. Now, for 10 years, Susan, I always opened her door because the way I grew up, chivalry was your wife was special. I didn't see my parents have an uncommon love, but I did see two families in our church that did have it. Dr. and Mrs. Lyons, he was the one who recommended me to come here, encouraged me to come here. He is 94, and he just sang a song at 94 on When I Get to Heaven. Just brings you to tears. He and his wife, and my former pastor and his wife. I said, you know, I want to be like that. I had an uncommon love to look at. And so I said, I'm going to always open the door. And I, you know, we were reading the other day, and this little tidbit came up and said, what kind of a person opens a door for their wife? A, they got a new car. B, or a new wife. I got a new wife. But the idea is, with Susan, I had to open the door for her because for a couple of years she had congestive heart failure. She couldn't walk from the parking lot to the church. She had to go around, get her out, and walk her in. And then she lost a leg and she was in a wheelchair. She couldn't get out by herself. So it was like I had to do it. So I worked on my heart more to help me to want to do this for her. I would take her shopping. Now, she loved to shop, not buy, but shop. And I would take that wheelchair out of the back, and it was in five parts, each one about 25 pounds, pick them up, put it all together, go around, open the door, put her in it, and get it. We'd go shopping. And there was one day whenever she went to five different stores in three different states. I said, because I'm trying to be a good husband. I'm trying to have an uncommon love. And I said, well, honey, would you like to go home? Could we go to Winchester? We're in Frederick. I said, you want to go to Winchester? I'd like to go to Winchester. Okay. Take the wheelchair, put her in, take it apart, put it in the trunk. I had a workout that day. I want you to know that. But I had to work harder on my heart to have a good attitude. Because you know what? I wasn't getting nothing out of that. I didn't like to shop. The only thing I got it, but I got to spend time with her. Tired time, but I got to spend it with her. And now Susan's in heaven, doesn't need any more help, rejoicing. Janet doesn't need me to open the door. But I learned I want to open the door. Now, don't get me wrong. Maybe you don't have a new wife. Open the door anyway. I'm not saying you got to. I'm just saying pick out something to make your love an emphatic love. Make her, make him feel important. You want to understand it's not what you can get in the marriage, it's what you can give. That's what makes love uncommon. It's not what you can get from your brother or your sister. It's what you can give to them. That makes your love uncommon. You see, we all have flesh. The flesh says, if I get something from you, then I'll give something in that order. But that's not an emphatic love. Emphatic love is that she or he or they know that you love them because of the emphasis that you put on them. So now I get to open the door because I want to. So the other day, we were in the garage and I don't know what happened. I was on the phone and you know, sometimes I forget she's in there. And so I'm going about thinking I was on the phone. And so she just got out or she got in. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I forgot. Because it's my privilege to be able to do that. It's a little thing. But it is something that I want to do so that she knows. Keep in mind, let me read it to you. And his desire is toward me. Everybody in this room has got to have an emphatic love if you want to have a common love. They got to know they're first. It's important that you and I put your heart into it. You might go do certain things that you have to do, but your mate, your family, your loved ones, people at work, put your heart in it. If you want to have an uncommon love, it requires an emphasis from you towards somebody. That's what this Song of Solomon verse is saying. His desire, his heart's toward me. You've got to have that if you want an uncommon love. Now, if you want to just have a regular marriage and a regular love, then that's your business. But I don't. And I don't want that for you. I don't want you to be a common mother or a common father. I want you to be an uncommon mother and an uncommon father. And I want you to be an uncommon son or daughter so that you don't have to be told, hey, would you go clean up your room? You want to do something for them. You want to be a blessing. It's an uncommon love, but you've got to put an emphasis upon the things that they like so that they know that you love them. Number two, not just an emphatic love, but a delightful love. Let me change the word to delightful love. You delight to do it. It's a joy for you to do it. But it's a demonstrated love. You have to tell them you love them. You have to say it often. I didn't want you to know I love you. You know, as time goes along, time deteriorates everything until we get to heaven. Do you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever painted your house again? Raise your hand. How many of you have painted inside the house again? How many of you had to get new carpet again? How many of you ever had, you know, we got a gym floor that's a wood floor. It's a maple wood floor, solid maple wood floor. It's called a prescription floor. It's got 4x8 sheets plywood underneath the floor, crisscross with little rubber grommets underneath it. 32 of them on every 4x8 sheet of plywood. There's been one knee in 25 years torn up on that floor. It is a great floor. But every year we go in there and we've got to resurface it. It costs money. It costs time to think about it. We got to call that guy to come out here and resurface the floor. Because what happens is the floor gets real slick over time. So you're running out there and you kind of slide on the floor. But man, when you put that new surface on that floor, it shines like a new dollar. How many have seen that new floor when it gets shine on it? And you go around there and you go, ah! I mean, it'll throw you over. It's sticky. Okay? The kind of love that lasts is love that's demonstrated. They have to see it. When you look at your house, people see that you love taking care of your house. The window shades are not messed up. The grass is not uneven. You know, whoever invented a lawnmower and whoever invented grass that needs to be cut at a certain height ought to be shot dead. Don't you think? I mean, you know, wouldn't it be nice if everybody's yards and it was accepted a foot high, a foot and a half high, and you didn't have to worry about it. But somebody invented them. And they pulled it all down. And the next neighbor said, wow, that looks cool. And pretty soon everybody's buying lawnmowers. So, you know, that persuasive idea of, you know, do what your neighbor does. And so now everybody, if you don't mow your grass, you look like an oddball. Okay? If you don't paint your house, if you don't do anything, it will deteriorate. If you don't spray your yard, you're going to get weeds in it. If you don't paint your house every once in a while, if you don't clean your windows every once in a while, everything deteriorates. How many of you have got double pane windows and every once in a while, one of those panes goes puff and then it gets foggy? How many of you are talking about? How many know what I'm talking about? All the windows in this building we just replaced 2 months ago. Because you know what? 80% of them were fogged. You know why? Time deteriorates. You can't let that happen to your family. You can't let that happen to your mate. Time will deteriorate it. If you don't say, wait a minute, I'm going to demonstrate my love on a regular basis. I'll paint the walls. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll make sure I keep up with my marriage. It takes time and attention. And it takes money. You can't take your wife out on a date if you've been married 25 years without money. Unless you want to wash dishes, I guess you could do that. I don't know. It takes time and money. And it takes attention. Somebody's got to make the reservations. And whenever you say, wait a minute, I'm going to take the time to make the reservations. Say, honey, would you go out to dinner with me Friday night? I've got reservations at McDonald's. Would you go with me? And she would say, oh, I'm glad you thought about it. It is a love that is uncommon. Friday night, you know, I'm tired of eating your cooking this week. I mean, it was good, but hey, let's go out to dinner. You don't go out with me? Sure, she'll say. Where are we going? I don't know. Let me think. A cheap place where we can go. That's not the way to do it. Think about it in advance and say, hey, I made reservations, and you'll have to hold her up because her head will hit the floor as she passes out. Because common love doesn't think about the other person after time. Time destroys. Remember that. Time destroys. Time allows little things that happen and they get stuck. And then they build up and they build up. And, you know, it's okay if you go out with them. It's okay if you don't say you love them very often. You're sure you like to hear it. But, you know, it's not demonstrated like it should be. You don't reach over and hold her hand every once in a while. You know, when Jan and I are walking down the mall, I'll catch myself walking in front of her. And then I have to pause and grab her hand and walk with me. I try my best to demonstrate my love to her. Now, I know I've been married almost a year. But if it's 20 years or 50 years, I tried the same thing with Susan. Because you've got to demonstrate that you love somebody. You've got to say it. You've got to do little things. I said last week, flowers are worthless. You cut them and they die. I mean, but they really cheer up your wife. How many of you ladies, don't raise your hand, But I know ladies like flowers. Why? It's not because necessarily the smell is all that great. It's the thought. You could vacuum the house without being asked, and your parents would say, "What do you want?" It's just the thought. Your love has got to be demonstrated some way. I mean, you've got to understand. You demonstrate your love by doing. You can't demonstrate your love by sitting. You demonstrate your love by doing. What are you doing to correct what time destroys? If you're not careful, you will allow time to make your marriage a common marriage. I don't want that for anybody in this room. You'll make your relationship with your brother or your sister a common relationship. Yeah, what, John? I don't know where your glove is. Don't ask me. That's your problem. A common friendship. I don't know where it is, but I'll look for you. Where have you looked? Uncommon love. Today, is your love an uncommon love? Is it delightful love? An emphatic love? Is it a demonstrated love? But then, it is a determined love. You have to be determined to say, "I want an uncommon marriage," or you won't have one. Whenever we have a softball team, we'd like to get another one of these days soon. And I love to play softball, but I couldn't play softball because my wife, I couldn't get hurt in any way because I'd lift a wheelchair for those 8 or 10 years. So I didn't play softball. I quit playing then, but I still like. But what I would do is if I went 1 for 4, or 1 for 5 in a game, or if I had a bad night and I went 0 for, or I went to a 2 for 5 or whatever, I wanted to go softball. You ought to be able to hit the ball almost every time. They lob it over. You ought to be able to hit it. Don't you think? I mean, it's not like they're curving the ball around. They lob it over. Come on, hit me. And you ought to be able to hit that every time. So I would go down and I would spend $5, $10 and I'd go to the batting cages. How many of you have been to the batting cages? Okay. Why'd you go there, Scott?
To get better.
To get better. So I go there and I get my bat and I watch it and I push the button and I put my $30 in, and I watch it, and I start throwing them over one at a time, and I try to hit it to the right field. I try to hit it to the left field. I try to hit it straight. I try to hit it right at the pitcher, so they have to duck. I try to hit it all over the place. I'm practicing. Why? I'm trying to get better. If you want an uncommon love, you have to be determined to get it better. Otherwise, time, it'll destroy it. Now, when I say destroy it, I'm not saying you'll get a divorce. Because 50% of people stay together no matter what. But what I want for you as a Christian couple, as a Christian brother or sister at Temple Baptist Church, is that you elevate your game, that it's an uncommon love. And you're determined to keep it that way. So you've got to go to the batting cages. You can't just accept it. Because time will destroy it. You know what I learned? I grew up in the batting cage. Now I'll be closer to 100 than to 0. My birthday. Okay? I'm not going to tell you any more than that. But that's what it is. All right? Closer to 100 than 0. How many of you could have guessed that? If you raise your hand, I want to see you after church. Okay? So I noticed that when I was 25 or 30, I'd hit the ball and it would just take off. And I could run, run like wind and get some inside the park home runs or knock it over the fence. And so, boom, the year after Susan passed away, I said, "I'm going to play softball again." And I'd rear back and hit that ball and go, bang, right over first base. It was so disappointing. It was terrible. I remember in high school, I do 50 or 60 push-ups in a minute. So I said, "I'm going to see how many I can do." You know, Susan's gone. I'm trying to take care of myself. I got down and I went like this. I went down. I said, "Okay, I'm ready to go." I can't do one. What's happening? Time. And it happens to all of us. So you've got to be determined or time will win. And folks, now listen, you've got to work at it. You've got to be determined to have an uncommon love. And my prayer for you is you will see the value of an uncommon love. When the Lord said in Ephesians chapter 5, He said, I want you to love your wife as I love you. And He went to the cross for me. It's an uncommon love. So it's important that all of us in this room be determined. I want to be determined. I'm not saying you've got the money to take your wife out every day, but you could fix the meal one time. I think she'll survive. Surely you can fix hamburger meat on the grill. I mean, I learned to make chili. I just went into the pantry and got a can of every bean or everything and just poured it in. And it turned out okay. Now, my wife didn't like it. There was no salt in it. But I liked it. It was good. I wanted chicken in it. So you know what I did? How many of you know what you do whenever you're not married, whenever you're by yourself? You go to Costco and get a chicken that's rotisserie. Cost you $5. You cut it up, put it on it, dump it in there. Make great chicken chili. Just go to your pantry and just get all kinds of things out. I mean, I got everything you could think of. I got corn. I got some French cut green beans. I got mushrooms. I mean, everything that was in here, I got it and threw it in the chili. And you know, we had a chili cooked at the property for all the guys, and they ate all my chili. They couldn't come to work the next day, but they had it all. It was great. I enjoyed it. What I'm trying to say to you is you have to be determined to be good to your husband or good to your wife. Do some things they like. Don't look at it. What did I get out of this? What can you give? Look at your brother or sister. What can I do for my brother or sister? What can I give? What can I give? What can I give? Great marriages, great families are not built upon what I get out of it. It's what I can put into it. It's an uncommon love. And that's what God wants all of us to have. An uncommon love for those that are not good to you at work. An uncommon love towards your mate that people in the world can say, wow, I think we were at Five Below or something, one of those stores. And I drove up the car and opened the door. She went in, Janet went in, and the person that checked her out said something like, enjoy it. Like, enjoy it while it lasts. Or some comment that caused Janet to come out and tell me, she noticed you opened the door for me. You have to be determined that time doesn't take away the delightfulness of your love. Now, how do you fix it? Well, you begin to have the kind of love you deny yourself. You don't worry about what you get out of it. It's a sacrificial love. You deny yourself. I'm going to treat him or her so special that they, keep in mind Song of Solomon, know that they love me. Oh, I know it. That's important. That your children know you love them. Young people, it's important that your parents know that you love them. How can you show them? How can you demonstrate your love for your parents? Somebody speak up. How many of you can demonstrate? Give me one way you can demonstrate to your parents that they would like. Okay? I'm not saying not run the car into the garage. I'm just saying something they would like. Pause it right here. Washing the dishes. That would be nice. Now, if you're required to wash his dishes, you got to find something else. I was required to get Susan's door open to get the wheelchair out. I was required. I had to find something else. So I'd hold hands with her. I'd put my arm on her back. I would reach over and tell her how much I loved her. I'd give her a kiss in public because I didn't care. It was an uncommon love. I wanted her to know that I loved her. So if the mood hit me, I would just reach over and say, honey, I love you. I'd see her go down there and I'd say, same thing. It's an uncommon love. Something else, okay? Something else. Yes, sir. Pardon me?
Clean your room without being asked.
Clean your room without being asked. How many of y'all did that last week? Two. That's the common love right there, okay? I'll just sleep in the bed you bought. I'll sleep on the carpet you bought me. I'll put my stuff in the closet you bought me, and that's good enough. And I'll eat the food you got me and not complain. No! Uncommon love. All of us. Think about it. God's love to you is uncommon. You need to match that kind of love in this life. So people see, wow, he's got a great God. She's got a great God. I want you to take your Bible through and turn to 1 Samuel. I'll get into something that's pretty challenging for all of us, but I'll close with this. 1 Samuel, and I still have 2 minutes, so don't worry about your clock, okay? 1 Samuel 25. Notice with me if you would. 1 Samuel 25. I want you to see, this is the story of Abigail and Nabal. Now, I'm certain the marriage was arranged because Abigail's husband was named Nabal. Does anybody know what the name Nabal means? Anybody know what the name Nabal means? Anybody know? Zachary, you're in the back. You must have paid attention in school. What's it mean? What's that? Foolish. I thought you were saying fool. It means foolish. How many of you like to marry? Oh, that's a good looking guy. Foolish. I think I'll marry him. That was his name. So, you know, the long story short of it, he offends David to the point where David has come to kill him because David was good to him and he was bad to him. He was smart aleck to him. He was sassy to him. Why should I help you? Why should I give any of my stuff? Because you were good to me when you watched out for my lambs and my sheep, my cattle. Why should I help you? Why should I pay you for that? And he went on, got drunk that night, and his wife heard about it. One of the servants went up to Abigail and said, Abigail, he was terrible to David. You know, David's got 600 men with him. I think David's going to come to kill him. Now, if I'm her and I'm married to a foolish man, I might just sit there and say, well, I'll see what happens. You know what she does? She goes to her men and says, hey, get some dates and get some grapes and get some this and that and get some of the delicacies we've baked up and get me a horse and let me ride on it and don't slow down for me. I got to get there quick. And she gets there and she's done nothing wrong. And this guy is a terrible husband. And notice what she does. Look, if you would, in verse number 23. And Abigail saw David, and she hasted and lighted off her ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. Wow. What a wife. Notice what she says in verse number 25. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial. She said, he's a son of the evil one. I know that. Even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, but folly is with him. Look down in verse 28. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. She claims his sin as her own. Notice, if you would. Verse 31, that this shall be no grief unto thee in time, David, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causelessly. Don't go kill my husband, even though he deserves it, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. Look, just remember, the Lord's going to deal well with you. Forgive me of this sin. Where are the husbands like that? Where are the brothers and sisters like that? Where are the employees like that? Hey, John, you didn't get your work done the other day. I heard about it. I finished it for you. You did what? Uncommon love. My home pastor pastored my home church for 49 years. He was planning on 50, but his wife came down with dementia. So severe that she couldn't find home. So he went to the deacons on his 48th year and said, "Look, guys, my wife is more important to me than this church. I've loved serving you for 48 and a half years, but this will be my last year." "Why, Pastor?" "Because my wife needs me." And he resigned at 49. He's still alive today. She died 3 years ago. He took care of her at home, met her every need, treated her like a queen for, I believe it was, 8 more years. That couple was the one, Susan and I said, we want a marriage like that. They were our example of an uncommon love. If it had been a common love, he would have said, "Look, I'll pay somebody to take care of you. I've got to preach." I knew it would not be that way. I knew, when I heard he was retiring at 49, I knew something had happened to his sweet wife, Judy. When I called, "I see you're retiring, Brother Gary." "Yes, sir, I am. Judy's not doing well." That is a demonstrated love to her, to me. It is an emphatic love. It is a delightful love. It wasn't he got up and said, "Woe is me." He got up in church and said, "I've got to resign because she's important to me and I've got to take care of her. I've enjoyed serving you." And 49 years went down the drain like that because I got to take care of Judy. That is an uncommon love. And when Susan got so ill, I knew she was dying. She had kidneys had failed, all the different issues she had. I said, "Honey, I'm going to retire and take care of you." And she looked at me and she begged me, "Please, don't do that." She had an uncommon love for me. And what I'm trying to say to you is I'm enjoying so much being married to Janet, because I have the same exact kind of love. Well, it's even better so many times because she can walk with me. We can do things together. All I'm trying to say to you is that time destroys. Don't let it happen. I want to encourage you to have an uncommon love this morning. And it starts with you taking most of the blame. It starts with you forgiving. It starts with you asking for forgiveness. It starts with you determined to have an uncommon love. Is that you this morning? Let's bow our heads for a prayer. An uncommon love. We're going to have a word of prayer this morning. And I know that there are some great marriages in our church. Maybe you'd like to have it better. I know there's some great brother and sister relationships. But maybe you want to come to this altar and say, "Lord, help me to be a better son. Help me to be a better daughter. Help me to be a better husband. Help me to be a better wife. Help me to be a better employee. Lord, help me to have an uncommon love like you had for me for others." We're going to have a word of prayer. Stand to sing. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I want to encourage you to come and let me help you. You can know for sure you're on your way to heaven this morning. If you'll come to me, I'll help you. I found out 56 years ago how to have God's uncommon love in my heart in the form of Jesus Christ and His Spirit. You can have it too. We'll have a word of prayer and stand to our feet. If you need to come this morning, maybe you had a rough week, come ask the Lord to forgive you. His uncommon love will always forgive you and bless you for tomorrow. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today as only You can. In Your name I pray. Amen.